You're listening to the Iterators of the Imperium.
Hi, I'm Miss, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Ryan, and you're listening to Season Quinqui of the Iterators of the Imperium podcast, the podcast in which Ryan is the expert of Warhammer 40k, and I'm the noob trying to learn about the Warhammer universe. And I probably should still say this. Quinqui means five, so this is Season 5, and I'm chatting out my ass right now. Ryan, you take the wheel, please.
Oh, God. Okay.
I just know where to start.
Sorry.
You know orcs. You know what, right? Yeah, we're talking about orcs. So we're continuing the story of Ghazghul Thraka.
Thraka. Right?
The prophet of Gork and Mork. Now, so the end of the episode last time, I don't know if I remember, but I said that we would be going on to the second war for Armageddon, right? There is a bit before that, because I was like, I think there might be a bit that I'm forgetting. There is a section that I was kind of going to just move past a little bit, but then I realized it's actually a bit more involved than I thought it was. So I thought that the books, as I remembered from reading it, detail this section as basically just a big fight, right? Yeah. And you can basically get past that by going, there was a big fight, and moving on, right? Like, I didn't remember there being anything particularly important about it, but actually there is a bit that's a bit more involved than that, so we are going to go through it properly. So, today, we are going to be covering World Killer, and we are also going to do the kind of the setup for the Second War for Armageddon as well.
Okay. Cool.
So we'll be straight on to the Second War for Armageddon next time. So, I don't know how much you remember from last time, because it's been a couple of weeks for us. I was on holiday. I was away to Portugal and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I got my hair cut. That's the biggest thing. It's been like a year.
Oh, I'm sorry. I completely forgot to compliment you. You look good, Ryan. But
thank you,
Miz.
I appreciate
already
that.
Know.
I appreciate that. So,
and if you guys want to see his haircut, please tune in on Spotify and on YouTube, because you can actually see visuals.
Yes, you can. Yes,
sorry, a shameless plug. Shameless plug.
Shameless self-plug. I like it. So as you'll probably remember from last time, Urk, the planet that Ghazghul was on, the sun was dying. It turned into like basically a permanent winter. And then out of nowhere, this space Hulk, to give you an idea, this is a picture I found when I searched for Space Hulk, and this can be what it looks like, but this is also very similar to just a normal Imperial ship sometimes. But it's basically just a big mess of ships rammed together. Anyway, this big Space Hulk just appears over the planet flying out of a warp rift, and they just launch themselves at it with a bunch of rockets to get on board.
Huh. I remember,
Yeah, so this is the point where you're like, oh, well, I mean, they basically just take over the ship and then piss off in it, right? There's a bit more to it than that, so I actually am going to explain it. So, obviously, immediately once they get on board, the thing is full of hordes of demons, right? Because it just came out of the warp. So, it turns into this instant total warfare between orcs and demons all through this fucking ship. Because you gotta remember that the orcs are just firing themselves at it in rockets to get inside it. They don't care where. They're not all landing at the same bit or entering at the same place. They are popping up all over this place. So the entire thing is just full-scale warfare, orcs on demons everywhere.
Yeah.
There's the odd space bug or something like that. They'll find the Tyranid every once in a while hiding away in a corner. They murder that too. So they just
whatever
start
they can get their hands
everything.
On, right? Yeah, just
Whatever's alive becomes dead pretty quickly. That's the ideal orcs.
But when they're launching themselves quite literally into the spaceship, don't they like break everything? And like, how can they be battle ready? Or is it just like, oh, I have a broken arm, but I still have one good arm?
Yeah, exactly. They got one good arm.
I love that mentality. But,
see,
so
the thing
good.
Is, you gotta remember that orcs are the kind of people that are like, they'll break one arm and then tear it off and use it as a weapon to beat you to death with. That's the kind of guys you're dealing with here, right?
And they're magical as well, so it has like multiple damage now.
Exactly, right? Improvised weapon stats, man.
It works.
Yeah. Actually, quite funny. One of the reasons that the orc were able to, like, to win this fight, because obviously they win this fight, because we know that there's a bit after this. One of the reasons they were able to win is that they kind of had the element of surprise. Because say you land an army of orcs at one spot, right? Now, the only thing tougher than an orc is a shitload of orcs, because they just get tougher when they're in a big group. And there was very suddenly an assload of orcs in this ship. But not only did a ton of them appear at one spot, a ton of them were appearing all over the ship because they were getting launched at it from rockets. So they kind of had the ultimate element of surprise. It's like trying to fight someone who's going to burst through a wall at any random second. You cannot prepare for that. Yeah. So the demons will all be charging down a corridor and go help, you know, kill the orcs. And then they'll get halfway down and get plastered by a rocket coming clean through the hull. Like, yeah, there's no way to prepare for that.
Not really.
Other than maybe just end yourself before they do, but demons don't really do that.
No. They want to get a fight as well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's basically how it went. It was just total warfare all over the place. Orcs fighting demons. And so this, Space Hulks don't really have a center, usually, right? Because they are just a big amalgamation of ships that have all been rammed together in the warp. So there's typically, it's not like a planetoid where, like, gravity turns it into a sphere. It can be any random, because it's in the void, there is no gravity, right? So it doesn't naturally round out or anything. It just looks like a bunch of ships rammed together a lot of the time. Yeah. So there isn't necessarily a center of this. But the closest they could get was when they did clear it out and they thought they had, like, taken control of it. Some of the mech boys, the orcs that are mechanics, or engineers for lack of a better term, thought that they had found a ship's bridge that had a button on it which they figured would put them back into the warp, which is what they wanted. Because otherwise they're stuck around Urk and its crappy dead sun. So, like, this should be the button. But they hit it and nothing happened. Actually, interesting side detail. This particular ship, this one at the center, is called Dominion, right? This became, like, the command center for Ghazghoul, right? Because it had the warp button. But it's called Dominion, this ship. And it's, like, a massive bulk carrier. It's basically just a massive cargo ship, right? It came from Euroclius. It left Euroclius back when the orcs from the War of the Beast first attacked. And then while it was in the warp, it became a Space Hulk. And now it's ended up back here.
What? That's...
sheer dumb luck.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm assuming that it's ended up back here because it'll still have some of the ship's automated systems, and one of them is probably, like, a homing system. You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's probably, like a return kind of thing. I think that's probably how it ended up back here. But it just dragged the whole Hulk with it, basically.
It is just dumb luck.
It is just dumb luck, yeah. Which is Ghazghoul's whole thing.
Nice destiny.
It is the will of Gork and Mark.
Yeah.
Pardon me. So, yeah, they find this ship and they're like, this'll be, like, the main bridge. This is as close to center as you get, and it's got the warp button on it. But they hit this button and nothing happened. So the mech boys set about trying to fix it. And they check everything and they're like, there's no reason this shouldn't be working. This should work. But they can't figure out why. So they fiddle a bit more and they get a bunch of camera monitors to come on that monitor all the different parts of the ship. And one of them, which should show the warp engines, instead shows a giant warp rift where the engine should be. There's just, like, a permanent gateway into the warp opened where the engine's supposed to be. So it can't, like... So the way warp drives in this work on ships is that basically they have an engine that charges a battery with this particular energy of some sort, whatever it is, that allows them to travel into the warp. And then all at once, the battery totally depletes all of its energy to open a massive warp rift for the ship to go through. That's the gist. because this thing has fucked up in some way or another, it is basically bleeding the energy constantly rather than charging. So it's just sustaining this little mini warp rift rather than opening a big enough one for the ship to go through.
So something's clearly jammed like open. An infinite portal, permanent portal to Narnia.
Or to hell, one or the other. Depends how you feel about Narnia, really. It might be the same thing. So they realise, we got to go deal with this. This portal needs to stop if we're going to make this work. So Gazcool's like, right, let's do this. Gives his knuckles a crack and heads down. And obviously, the big boss is setting about shit, so all the Weeans follow him. So Gazcool marches down to this like engine bay with a whole horde of orcs following him. And once they kind of get there and they see this big, you know, portal. Oh, I should mention, this march down to the portal is when the orcs start chanting, "Here we go, here we go, here we go," for the first time. That's why that became Gazgul's like chant. This is it. It's this march down to take out this portal. Yeah, they get there. And they're like, all right, well, we need to destroy the portal. So they all shoot it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that does nothing.
Yeah.
So Gazgul's like, all right, I'll take care of this. So he starts marching towards the portal. And obviously, it would be very anticlimactic if he just managed to walk up to the portal, right? It'd be really boring, right? Luckily, the warp was in the mood to help him out with the drama for setting the scene. So, as he starts walking towards it, the portal starts flashing different colours. It's usually green. It starts flashing red, this thing. And then out pops a greater demon. One of the big boys.
Okay.
Right. And in the words of Makari himself, it wasn't one of the demons that represents one of the... like getting what you want or changing things. It was one of the angry ones.
Okay.
So it was a bloodthirster. One of these guys pops through the portal carrying a like magic whip.
Amazing.
Yeah. Just think Balrog, but with a whip instead of an axe.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the record, this particular piece of art is actually from an artist, Devin Manning. Pretty good. I just want to throw that out there. I think they did a pretty good job. Anyway,
credit is due.
Credit where credit is due. So Devin Manning, DeviantArt, you'll find it. Anyway, so this big fucker pops through the portal in front of Gazgul while he's trying to get to the portal, and obviously they're gonna fight, right? That's where this is going. And as Gazgul tries to get towards it, it just starts lashing him with its whip, which keeps him at a distance. Gazgul can't get closer to it because he's getting hit that much. And it's kind of throwing him off a little bit. But eventually, the whip gets caught on Gazgul's like wrist armor. And when it catches on it, he takes the chance to grab the whip and like wrap it around his hand and then yank it out of the fucker's hand. So Gazgul now has the thing's whip.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to use it. He just wants the fucker not to have a whip anymore, because who the fuck uses a whip? So he just yeets the whip away, and he then proceeds to mock the bloodthirster for losing its whip. So he just looks at him now, he's like, "Lost your whip, huh?" So the thing gets pretty pissed off.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So it lets out this big blood-curdling scream and starts moving towards Gazgul. So Gazgul starts charging towards it, full speed. At this point, Gazgul is armoured to the tits, by the way. He is coated in metal, tip to toe, basically. You've seen the pictures of him. He's, like, in a full suit of heavy armour. And, you shouldn't be able to move fast in that armour. But Gazgul decided that he could, so he did. Right? So the two of these fuckers are flying at each other as fast as they can possibly fucking run. And Gazgul winds back for this, like, running punch. And then, right as he's about to get to the bloodthirster, he just boots it clean in the stomach.
Okay.
And for the record, so orcs have this thing where the... You know how, like, some orcs are strong, some orcs are clever? right? And the strong ones like Gork, and the clever ones like Mork. Well, in that moment, all the orcs that worshipped Mork cheered because that was the most hilarious thing they've ever seen. That he pretended he was going to punch it until the last second and kicked it so he didn't know what was going on. So the whole crowd around him, half of the orcs are all cheering because he's being like a sneaky bastard. And that kick kind of throws, like, because obviously the Bloodthirster wasn't expecting it, it kind of throws him off balance a bit. And Ghazghoul uses this to throw himself on top of it and start pummeling it to death with his bare hands. And,
damn.
And with that point of brutality, the rest of the orcs that like Gork started cheering because it was incredibly violent. So he kind of hyped up the whole crowd there. And I'm gonna quote Makari again here because it's pretty good. Because the Bloodthirster is incredibly fast, as we've already seen. But in the words of Makari, all the agility in the world won't do you no good with a massive war boss sitting on top of you. Which is a fair point.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so Ghazghoul basically just proceeds to beat this thing into non-existence till it just fades away. At which point the portal kind of calms down a little bit. I guess it was kind of riled up because it was like feeding this thing energy to keep it in reality, like in a physical form. But it kind of chills out a bit. So Ghazghoul like stands in front of it and screams at it to send something bigger because that was boring. It's like, send a bigger one!
But I need a challenge.
Yeah, exactly. But no, nothing happens. Nothing comes through. So, obviously, Ghazghoul just needs to close the portal now, and then they'll be, you know, set, ready to go. Do you want to guess how he closed the portal? It's basically how he solved every problem up until this point.
Headbutt it.
There you go. Because you got to understand, a headbutt is like a spiritual thing in orc society. So he headbutted this fucking portal, and it sealed. It closed. Doesn't make any fucking sense, but it fucking worked.
Yeah.
So, with the portal closed, they now had the ability to go into the warp. So, they did that. They hit the button on in the bridge, I guess, for lack of a better term. And the whole Space Hulk disappears into the warp. Now they're on their way. They're heading towards this great battle that Ghazghoul had, you know, prophesied. And, there's no way of knowing how long they were in the warp. That's the issue here. Because orcs don't record anything. So even, like, obviously, reality outside and inside the warp, time will be different. So they might have went in and came out, like, a week earlier than they went in to begin with, right? Mm-hmm. Or they could come out 6 years later. But we have no idea because they don't record anything. So we don't know when they went in. We don't know how long they were there. We don't know when they came out. We can estimate, but that's about it. While they were in there, though, obviously, the orcs get bored because they've kind of killed all the demons. So they kind of just started exploring the Space Hulk and, you know, killing anything they could find to justifiably kill. So if they found a couple of Terranids, they got blown to pieces. They found, I don't know, an Eldar that got blown to pieces. Found a human skeleton, blow that to pieces. No one knows what might have happened, right? Like, just anything. If it can be killed, kill it. If it looks like it can be killed, even though it's already dead, kill it again. Right? Just keep yourself entertained. But the Death Skull tribe, those orcs, had the time of their fucking lives. Because it's a ton of, like, spaceships from different cultures and different alien races at different time periods all wedged together. So they just started ransacking it and stealing everything that wasn't bolted down. Because they're the scavengers, you know, they like building shit. So they just started stealing everything they could. Just to build shit with, to keep them entertained. And
loot goblin.
Yeah, they're literally loot goblins. That's 100% what they are. During this, the problem is that a lot of what they were stealing was like, it was electrical technology for a large part, right? And every ship in this thing has to have some form of warp drive because they all ended up in the warp to turn into a Space Hulk. So at some point or another, they were ripping apart warp drives of old broken ships and kept causing minor demon incursions by opening minor warp portals by fucking around with these defective warp drives. So once in a while, a small army of demons would pop up somewhere and the orcs would get to fight again, keep them entertained for a bit.
Yeah.
But they didn't actually come out of the warp until the year 941 of the 41st millennia. That's when they next reappeared that we know of. And when they re-emerged into reality, I should tell you now, by this point, they have named this ship, this Space Hulk, World Killer. Right? They have titled it now that they control it. But World Killer finally re-emerges from the warp in 941 M41, and it is hurtling directly towards a planet. So it's came out of the warp next to the planet Sun, and it's just heading straight for this planet. Like, there is nothing that can stop it from hitting this fucking planet.
Great.
Yeah. Now, there's a bit of... This is where we come to the build-up for the second war for Armageddon. So I'm going to tell you about Armageddon. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you need to know a bit about, like, the war that's about to occur. And to know that, you need to know the scale. You know the scale of the orc side of it, of the attacking force, because we've followed them this far. But you need to know the scale of the planet that they're attacking as well. But before that, I do want to show you one thing, if it'll work. Okay, for some reason that picture isn't working. Never mind. Sorry, I had another picture of a bloodthirster, but it's from Age of Sigmar, and it's destroying Arcanauts, which are basically dwarfs with hot air balloons. And I just thought it was a funny picture, because hot air balloons cannot hold up to an axe from a flying fire demon. They just simply cannot. It's really a stupid thing to try and attack it with.
That's not how you look at it, Ryan.
I don't think it does. A light breeze messes up a hot air balloon. The fuck's an axe going to...
Ryan, you gotta believe. If you believe hard enough, Ryan. That's okay. How it works. You know this.
You know what? You know what? We'll deal with this argument when we get to Age of Sigmar, okay? Because we can do that one day if you're feeling like a taste of fantasy at some point. We can do that. We're not actually going to do fantasy because they're simply put our better podcasts for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've not seen anyone do like a really good Age of Sigmar podcast. I think because people typically don't like Age of Sigmar. But I personally know a couple of people. We've had a guest on that hosts like an incredible Warhammer fantasy podcast, and there's just no point in us putting our feet in that water.
Nah, easily better.
We can. And if you wanted to know about it, just go listen to that, because I can't tell you any more information than that guy. That guy's got like 40 years experience on me. He knows his shit.
Is that Thor?
Yes, Thor, yeah.
That's been ages. But yeah.
Yeah, it was like season 2, man. It was for like the Eldar episodes, man. He joined us. Yeah. Eldar Wadar.
Eldar.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so we're going to tell you about the planet Armageddon, right? Mm-hmm. This is what the planet looks like, just so you know, right? It's a fairly normal temperate world. It does it ranges like ours from really cold areas to like forested areas back to really cold, right? Pretty standard stuff. Yeah. Pretty good for human habitation. Except for one thing, they have areas that are like ash wastes, they call them, which are like an environmental hazard. So if you're in like a tank or anything there, it needs to be sealed because it'll fuck up people. But it's not like, it's not a planet that is adverse to human life. Overall, there's just a couple of areas like that are a bit dangerous for humans, right? Like a toxic environment.
So wait, hold on. What are you telling me right now? It looks like Terra, right? And you can live on it like Terra.
Yeah.
And but some places are inhabitable, like Australia. So it's kind of realistic, right?
Yeah. Honestly, it's a if you were to explain to someone in vague detail what Terra is, the details of it, and have them like design a fan like a fictional planet about it, you'd basically get this, right?
Yeah,
that's it. So a large amount of it is habitable. It's a like big enough planet. It's got like the right kind of distance from the sun. All this kind of stuff. A couple areas are dangerous. A couple areas are cold. But like, you might combine those. You might not. Stuff like that, right? So you could be. It's like a close approximation to Terra. Yeah.
You missed my joke though.
What? Sorry.
It looks like Terra, right? You could live on it like Terra. Some places are uninhabitable, like Australia.
Ah, yes.
Because everything Australia wants to kill you.
That is very true, yes. Sorry.
Don't mind.
I apologize.
That's fine.
So, pretty good planet as far as humanity is concerned, right? And we've been here for a while. We're well settled on this planet. As far as humanity and the Imperium are concerned, this is an Imperial world as well. It's not like an offshoot of humanity, right? This is like proper worshiping the God Emperor kind of stuff, right? Mm. And I think I can show you where it is. Yeah, so on a galaxy map, that is where it sits, right?
Mm.
Now, there's no point in reference there, so that doesn't mean much to you, but I have more important maps for this. So this is a galaxy map in the modern day. So it actually, this is after the fall of Cadia and the big tear across the galaxy opens. You can see that big red line is the Cicatrix Maledictum that cuts the galaxy in half. So this is after, or this is in the year 42,000. This is what we'd look like. We're before this, so we don't have the big tear. We just have the Eye of Terror and the Maelstrom and stuff when we're talking about. But it still works for showing you something important here. Because if we zoom in a little bit, down to the middle here. So this center section is where Terra and Mars are, as you can see there. And if you look up to the northeast there, you can see Armageddon is very near Terra. It's very close to the homeworld. It is only about 10,000 light years away, which is really not that far.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's worryingly close. I'll leave that up. Screw it, why not? So, yeah, this planet is really close to Terra. Like, worryingly close. And, interestingly, it has some history with orcs. Long before Ghazghoul even exists, it has some history with orcs. See, Armageddon isn't the original name of this planet. It was renamed at some point during the Imperium's history. And the old name is, like, long forgotten to Imperial scholars and to, like, the inhabitants of this planet. But just so you know, at this point in time, when this planet is attacked, this planet, Armageddon, it is a hive world, so it, you know, massive population in the billions of humans living here. And it's an industrial world as well. They have, like, factories everywhere. And they produce a massive amount of weapons and ammunition and tanks and stuff for the militarum. Mm. But because of the scale that it does this, it is essential to the Imperial war effort in this area. It is like one of the main, like, you know, manufacturing planets in this area. It's really important. Also, the weapons and tanks and stuff they make are all specialized designs. They make, like, an Armageddon pattern version of everything that's all, like, sealed because it's the only stuff you can use on this planet in case you have to go into the ash wastes. So the tanks are all, like, sealed perfectly so that the inhabitants can drive through these areas without getting harmed. But they ship them all over the galaxy for the Imperium to use. So, very important planet. Populated by billions and, you know, well defended because it's like an industrial world, right? They have like a whole special army called the Armageddon Steel Legion. They're like an armor division that use tanks.
Yeah.
So it's not a small planet. It's not an unimportant planet. It is essential and it is well defended. But I feel like we should have a look at the history of this planet a wee bit because you're going to like this, right? I wonder if you're going to see this coming, but you're going to like this. So, as I said, its history is long forgotten. But back in the 30th millennia, so 41,000, or almost 42,000, sorry, almost 12,000 years prior to when Ghazghul turns up, this planet was a major part in the Emperor's Crusade. Mm-hmm. It was home to the biggest orc empire the Imperium ever saw. And it was led by a warlord named Urlak Urk. Or Urk. So, keep it short here. This threat was only finally defeated. This massive orc uprising was only finally defeated on this planet when the Imperium sent 8 million guardsmen, 100 titans from Legio Mortis, 600 Imperial Navy ships, and 100,000 Space Marines of the Ultramarines, White Scars, and Luna Wolves. So 300,000 Space Marines in total. All led by their Primarchs, Jagatai Khan, Rabuti Gilliman, and Horus Lupercal. And the Emperor himself was on this planet to take down this orc uprising back in the 30th millennia. And this is where it's all going to start to sound familiar to you. The day was finally won and the war was finally ended when Horus slew the orc leader and threw him from the battlements.
Yep. I remember. Yep.
Ulinor was the original name, right, of this planet. Yeah. And it was renamed to Armageddon sometime in the middle, and everyone's forgot that. And now, the now biggest orc uprising ever, which is bigger than the one that was there back then, is coming back to this planet through sheer dumb luck.
That's amazing.
It's incredible, isn't it?
That's amazing.
Yeah. So now we've got World Killer flying towards this fucking planet, and it's gonna make Urlak Urg look like an absolute pushover. Because, you've got to remember, this is an even bigger orc army. It's got Ghazghul, the Prophet, and Gorkon Mork leading it, and the Imperium has no Primarchs, no God Emperor to protect them. They're on their fucking own. Also, I should make a point of pointing out that this is the second war for Armageddon. This planet has a habit of being at the heart of all the terrible things that happen. So, yeah, but because this is the second one, I'm pretty sure it's only been like 60 or 80 years since the first one. So they're still kind of fucked. So they've got like as little chance of winning this as physically possible.
That is tough.
Yeah. Although I will warn you now, there's a third war for Armageddon.
Ah, great. Of course there is.
I'm just waiting for a fourth, man. But yeah, I think that sets us up pretty well for the second war for Armageddon. You know the scale of what's going on outside of this. It's like full-scale manufacturing essential Imperial world versus Ghazghul and his army.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit is about to get real.
It's about to go down.
Yeah. And yeah, no Primarchs or anything to save it. Because you remember, this is in 941 of M41. So, Gilliman's not back yet.
Ah.
Gilliman doesn't come back until 999 M41. Like, during the fall of Cadia. So, there is no one that can act as, like, the hand of God to save them.
No. They don't have the Emperor or nothing.
Yeah. They have human ingenuity, and that is it.
Good luck.
So, I guess next time we'll see how that works out for them.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Would you like to round out?
I sure can do. Well, thank you guys for listening to this episode of Iterators of the Imperium Podcast, Season 5, or Quinqui. I should start saying 5, shouldn't I?
You should, yeah. I should. It's going to make me giggle every time.
Me too, because I kind of forgot it until I remembered it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will see you in the next one. Take care and peace.
Bye.